All right, well, let's get to the word today. We're in Colossians. We're studying Colossians. It will be a slow process because there's so much in there, but we want to give time to it because I really believe, as I said to you before, it relates to today. As Paul wrote to the Colossians, I feel like he was writing to us today at the time in which we live, and that's why this is called a living word, because it'll apply to probably every generation has said that, right? So let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. We're here and we gather together simply for one reason. That's to worship you and to present ourselves before you to say, what would you have to do with us, Lord? As we've worshiped you and we've hugged and we've shared, and Lord, we have come now to read your word and to celebrate it. I pray that even as we leave this place today, Father, that Father, we'll be the same Monday through Saturday as we are coming in here on Sunday to worship you. That we send your love and bring your love and give your love to all those that we see, Father, to the least of these. You've done it unto me, said Jesus. So Lord, just bless this time, this remaining time we have together in your word to receive and to turn the words into a lifestyle of becoming obedient to your nature and your character. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to pick up where we left off last week at verse 9. So let's put up verses 9 through 14 we're going to read. This is the most powerful part, I believe, of the entire book of Colossians, verses 9 through 14. Chapter 1. We're still in chapter 1. Trust me, next week we'll still be in chapter 1. But then maybe the following week we'll get to chapter 2. There's only four chapters, so don't worry. We're going to be good. Verses 9 through 14, powerful prayer. Paul prays for you and me and for the Colossians. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you. And we asked and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 10. So that you will walk in a manner. Why do we receive it? So that we will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. That's tough. Joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you and I, us, to share in the inheritance of the saints. Where? In light. And God is light. For he rescued us. We were in darkness. He rescued us from the domain of darkness. And he transferred us spiritually, boom, to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. We've been purchased. We've been bought back. We're no longer part of sin, death, hell, and the grave, and the devil's property. We have been removed and brought into an inheritance of the light, the Son, Jesus, because of our, what? Forgiveness. The forgiveness of our sins. What a prayer. What a powerful prayer. God didn't just give this to the Colossian church. He knew we'd be reading it today. Paul asked the Lord. He says, he essentially asked him, Lord, make us spiritually complete now. Oh, we will be when we get to heaven. But what Paul is saying is, let's get this pushed. Push forward on the agenda. Deposit, impart, give, flourish, just imbue all those calling upon you. Make them spiritually complete now so that the world, those that have the scales we just talked about, they'll see the goodness of God and those scales will just fall. Make us spiritually complete now, he says, so that our entire life, not just part of our life, Praise God that wherever you accepted Jesus Christ, that's the moment that you'll never forget. But you know what? The earlier we come to know him, the more fruitful we can be for him. So that our, he says, so that our entire life on earth would reflect the life that we will one day live in heaven. See, we're going to have this prayer that Paul prayed. We're going to be that prayer in heaven. We'll be perfected. We'll be complete. And what Paul is praying for God is like, we know what we're going to have in heaven. That's why I'm praying this. Impart that to us now so that so many more can come to this place of redemption, this wonderful place of light, paradise, to be with Jesus. We want it now, Lord. And like I said, Paul essentially prays for us to receive a crash course in sanctification. With the Lord imparting to us everything that we need, not just for forever, but for today. We all need a crash course in sanctification. We can't just read these words on a page and say, amen, and God bless you, and wow, it's great. Sunday's been wonderful. God desires us to eat this word and live it Monday through Sunday, exemplifying to the world the kingdom of heaven. Let's break it down. Colossians 1:9. Going back, we're going to study these five verses. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it. That's a pretty quick start. Since the day you heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you. Paul started praying. As he was receiving, he was praying for someone else. What about you? When you're given something, when you're blessed, when you've been given this understanding and wisdom and knowledge, are you just savoring it and keeping it all to yourself and just waiting for the bus? Or do you immediately, when you receive this, are so excited that you must share it with whomever you come into contact with? That's Paul, and that's what he's praying that we would receive. That when we hear it, we don't cease to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Not your will, not your agenda anymore, not your daytimer. It's no longer your life. It's his life in you. He wants you to be filled with the knowledge of his will. He wants you to just be reminded that you don't matter anymore. You're insignificant. You're one of billions of people that have been born into this planet. Your worth comes from me. My worship is being imparted to you to become the sons and daughters that I've created you to be. Now become. I've created you to be, so now become. It's an action. Be filled with the knowledge of his will. In all what? Natural wisdom. Books, school, learning, degrees. No. Be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The Greek word is plero, plero. And it means to be filled. It means to be completely filled, possessing a complete, get that word, complete knowledge or understanding of the ways in which God works. How many of you desire to work the way God works all the time, in every moment, every day of your life? To be filled with the understanding that this is what I need to do today, and I know I'm in the middle of God's will, and it's his works that I'm doing, not mine. Paul is saying, plero, possess the complete knowledge of God's works and his understanding and the way. If you don't know the way God works, you're not going to work his way. You're going to work your way or somebody else that you're modeling. Paul's praying, please, Lord, let them understand the way you work and let it be in them so that on a daily basis they're being reminded of their understanding of what it is that they're supposed to be doing in your will today. The only way to acquire a thorough and complete understanding of God's will, by the way, requires the fullness of the Holy Spirit. As much as book knowledge, reading the Bible, the devil's read it, as much as all the classes that you can take, without the impartation of an understanding from the Holy Spirit upon this book and any other book that we read that's godly, you'll still be stuck in your own wisdom. It takes the fullness of the Holy Spirit to get the fullness out of the Word. Why? Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are co-equal in one. Holy Spirit gets the understanding because He is God from the Father and Son, and He imparts it to you. Where do you get it from? There's only one source, and that's the Holy Spirit, through the Word, through Jesus. As much as godly teachers are great, without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they're just teachers. We must have the fullness of the Holy Spirit to get a full understanding. If we want this prayer Paul's praying for, a complete fullness of God, there's no way other than through the Holy Spirit, because He is the fullness of God. No one else, no one person is. We're all what? Pieces of the puzzle. We're all bricks on the wall. We all are complete in Him. We all provide spiritual gifts, and that's why He says don't forsake the assembling together, because we all have something to contribute. We need each other. We need other people sharing. We need body ministry. We don't need teams up here of one or two people and a praise team doing all of the work of the ministry. You matter. You've been created in the image of God with specific giftings and specific understandings that we need, and it needs to be shared. That's what communion is. That's why He says in John 17, Jesus desired unity above anything else. Because in unity, we all get to work together and have a role to play in the kingdom of God. No one is insignificant, not the least of these. In fact, the least of these is the most significant in Jesus' eyes. So where do we get this fullness of the Holy Spirit from? You need to seek God. You need to study the Scriptures, yes. You also need to live a consistent life of steadfast obedience. Why? Because obedience releases blessing and understanding. God will give you more when you're obedient to Him. So if you're seeking Him and you're reading His Word, and more importantly, you're obeying Him, God is imparting to you. This is how we get it. When we actually go through the joy, with joy, now listen to me, because it says joyously, through the trials of life. When we go through the trials of life with an understanding that our hope is in God, and it's not about being happy in this world, it's having the joy of the Lord through the difficult times. When you have the joy of the Lord through the difficult times, God is going yes and amen and saying, angels, go minister. These people are going to reflect me in any circumstance and situation, and I'm going to be glorified through their trial. Testing and trials come not to hurt you, because God loves you and He wants to purify you and He wants to make you whole in your understanding. He's already made you whole with your redemption, but now he's got to get the understanding and the knowledge and the wisdom and will of His into you. We work out our salvation from within, right? With fear and trembling. As we're awestruck, we take that which is within us and it works out to our hands and feet. Sometimes slowly. Paul is praying here, let's get it done fast. Let's get it done completely. I pray that they understand your will completely and they know how you work so that it can be worked through you now. Because it's not going to do it any good later. When you're in heaven, you're not going to need it. Now is where God wants to use you mightily. Now. So it's both, listen, receiving God's impartation of salvation by faith, right? Listen now. There's two parts to this. Receiving God's impartation of salvation, meaning healing and deliverance and our ticket to heaven. We get that by faith, believing in Jesus, and then giving our lives to Him, making Him Lord, right? And then lovingly, we don't stop there. The bus doesn't come at that time, pick you up and take you to heaven like Elijah. He was in a whirlwind. He got taken up. It was His time. You're not, because you're still here. I don't see you being taken up in a whirlwind to heaven right now. So once you've received salvation, you need to do something with it. And what is it? Working out this deliverance, because you've been delivered, right, from death, hell, and the grave. You need to work out this deliverance through the fruit of your works. How do you demonstrate your love to God? If you love me, you'll obey me. You demonstrate the fruit of God in you by working it out of you. It's a work. It's not just an imbibing and a taking in and getting drunk in the Spirit and just keeping it to yourself. There's two parts. And it's that part that you receive by faith, and then it's that part that you lovingly work out through the fruit of your works. Paul prayed the same exact way, this prayer, of what I've just explained to you, in Ephesians, to the Ephesian church. Listen to how similar it is. You know it's in Paul's heart because he's saying it to all the churches. Chapter 3 of Ephesians, verses 14 to 19. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. Paul's praying. From whom every family in heaven, right, and on earth derives its name. In other words, your character and your nature. The character and nature of heaven for Christians should be the same down here. We've got God's name. We've got God's character. We've got God's nature. That he would grant you, and now we got to, since we have that in us, we got to work it out. How do we work it out? Holy Spirit, take control. Didn't we sing it? All honor, all glory, all power. It's all his, not yours. We sing it so that he'll bring it through you. That he grant you according to the riches of his glory. And it's mighty. It's glorious. There's so much he can do through you if you let him. To be strengthened with power. This is spiritual power. It'll knock the world on its can. It'll take those scales and it'll strip them off. It won't just pull them off gently. It'll strip them off quickly as we are more powerful in our presentation of the goodness of God. Not controlling and demanding, but lovingly showing how wonderful this power and authority can be in your life. Strengthened with power through his Spirit. Where? It comes from our inner man. Folks, it's got to get out. And it's a choice that you make every day of whether to get it out or not, or to keep it in. Paul's praying this same prayer. Listen, verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We just said that. And that you, being rooted and grounded in this loving faith, right? You've received his love. Verse 18. Now you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the breadth, the length, and the height, and the depth. In other words, you're complete. You have a complete understanding of God's will, so you know whether you're going to have to go forward, backward, sideways, left, right. He's going to direct your path, and you're not going to be guessing, which way should I go today? What should I do today? How can I? What? He's just going to give it to you. You're going to get direction. Why should you be any different than Jesus? Father, what do you want me to do today? And Jesus just went where God told him to. Every day it was a new experience. Every morning, his mercies are new. And he wants you to know the love of Christ. And when you do that, it surpasses all knowledge. You don't care whether you read the Bible, you know, sit down and do this. You start knowing the love of Christ, you're going to be like Tilly. You're going to sit there and go, oh my gosh, I think I feel the Holy Spirit. Oh, I do. And it feels so good. I'm at peace. I've got joy. My life's a wreck, but I don't care. It surpasses your circumstance. It surpasses knowledge so that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. If you're filled up to the fullness of God, nothing in this life should affect you in a negative way. You've got God. You're going to heaven. You're going to live forever in his presence. What can man do to me? Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But it's more fruitful for me to stay here with you because you need the knowledge I'm about to give you. But otherwise, I'd rather be raptured into God's presence right now. Well, folks, people can see God right now through you if you let them, because Paul says it's available and he's praying it in for you and the Ephesian church and the Colossian church. The fullness of God. There's a lot in verse 9, isn't there? Truly, though, it's not what we know that brings salvation and revelation, but whom we know. Never forget that. This book represents Jesus. This Bible is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. Don't ever let anything replace a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Your religious understanding and knowledge and quoting scripture five times a day and having all of this wonderful ability to teach and preach and do miracles and to stand in front and prophesy. Jesus said, get away from me, I never knew you, to some of those who did that. Just showing you that it's all about him. It was written about him for you to read so that you will get to know him and it becomes part of you. It's an awesome tool. It's God's words. It's life to you if you allow it in. And then it's life to others as you let it out. Two parts. Anything you remember today, there's two parts to your walk with God. It's receiving and it's giving. And it's more blessed to give than to receive, actually, according to God. So it's not what we know, it's whom we know. For it's with God where all wisdom and spiritual understanding is found and acquired. If you want spiritual wisdom and understanding, there's only one place to go. We must first choose to receive from God and then choose to apply his wisdom and power to both the seen and unseen world. Did you understand what I just said? You choose to receive from God, and then you have to choose to apply what you've received, his wisdom and his power that lives within you, to two places, both the seen and unseen world. You have to discern the underlying reality, because things can be obscured. Unseen realities are more important than what you see or feel or taste or touch. Does that make sense? God gives you a spiritual discernment that the world does not know to see through people, to see the underlying reality behind what's really facing you. The person is offering you a piece of candy but has poison stuck in it, and you go, and I see that, and I'm not going to touch it. See, you have to be aware of both the seen world and the unseen world. Those spiritual realities of coming up to someone and knowing that they're evil and they're not good, and I've got a check in my spirit. Sis, this is the Holy Spirit working in you. God giving you wisdom and knowledge to apply it. How do I apply it? By when I'm meeting with people, I understand and see the unseen world as well as what I'm seeing. Because if all you go is by what you see, you're going to be led astray and people are going to deceive you like the devil deceived Eve. If they had seen that unseen reality of the fact that God is the reality in their life and they were already like God and he said, don't do this, and they were obedient to that, they would have fared well. But what had happened? She looked at the seen world and her understanding was that if I eat that apple or whatever fruit that was, I'm going to be just like God. That's how you apply it. You take from within, and then when you see something in the natural, always go to God with it and tell you, God, is what I'm experiencing you? Or is there something that I'm not seeing that you're giving me a check with that I need to be obedient to? That's wisdom and discernment, practically speaking. And that's what Paul is saying. Be practical in your Christianity. Don't just receive and read and be religious and take things at face value. Apply this thing and look at the unseen world and ask God in circumstances that appear to be failing with you and that your life is getting ready to fall apart. As somebody just said, is that, you know, things may be caving in and reality may be coming in and the sea is right there and the Israelites are standing there. Because who told me that? The Israelites are standing right at the edge of the sea and all they see is the sea and no way out and the Egyptians behind them. And in their reality, we're toast. But as Maria pointed out, but God. The sea opens, they pass through, and the Egyptians are all wiped out. Great story, Pastor. Can it be a story for you today? Different circumstance? Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's what Paul desires. This is his prayer. Be aware of the unseen and the seen world with the wisdom of God, with the knowledge of God. And the only place you're going to get it is to seek him, to be obedient to him, to get into his word, to fellowship, to worship, and then you're going to grow, grow, grow. And I want you to do it at super light speed because, you know what, once we get to heaven, we won't need it. But you need it now. Colossians 1:10. Let's get to the next verse, 1:10. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. We'll talk about that. To please him in every respect, all respects. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Whew, that's a mouthful. So, first of all Bible truth is practical. It's not just for your reading pleasure, though it is pleasurable to read God's word, and we get peace through it and joy, and we read stories of how people have overcome, and that's all great. But this book was intended not just to be something that was read, but to be lived. It's practical. Therefore, God expects us to apply it, not just acknowledge it. Oh, yeah, that's the Bible. It's been around for 6,000 years, and it's been inerrant, and it's God's word, and that's great. Does it sit on your table and be a decorative item? Or are you in it every day? Are you in it for a minute? Five? If you got time, maybe 10? Half hour, an hour? It's really not the time involved as much as how much you're involved. God expects us to apply it, not just acknowledge it, and walk it out. We are not just to grow in knowledge, which is spiritual intelligence, you can call it, but we should be also growing in practical obedience. Spiritual knowledge, practical obedience. Like I said, when you leave here today, it's two things you got to do. Take it in, give it out. Practical obedience. And walking worthy of the Lord describes a lifestyle of godly living. If you're walking, that means you're walking the walk. You're doing what God has asked you to do. It's a lifestyle, walking worthy of the Lord. Godly living, not just walking and doing whatever you want. It's a lifestyle of godly living. Being fruitful, it says, in every good work. So what you do should matter to somebody. It should bear some type of positive, godly, fruitful influence. Otherwise, why do it? If it's not fruitful, if it doesn't matter, it's just wasting time, right? Growing your son up into the man that he's going to be in his latter years is one of the most fruitful experiences you will ever participate in. And how much you pour into him is going to be how much he's going to get out of it. Because in the early years, he can't read the Bible and do this stuff. He needs to be made aware of this stuff by mom and dad. And it's not just for Aubrey. It's for anybody who has a child. And the child can be two or one or it can be 55. It pleases God. It pleases God when you live godly and you bear good fruit. It really does. And folks, there's no end to knowing God unless you neglect to keep seeking and obeying him. I don't care how many times you've read this Bible, you can read it a billion more times and you'll still get something out of it. You keep seeking and obeying him, he'll keep revealing more and more and more from this book and from the Holy Spirit. We call that rhema, direct deposit. in banking terms, direct deposit versus standing in line and getting it for yourself. I like the direct deposit method. You know, that kind of works for me. But I still have to stay buried into this because, you know, the Holy Spirit works through this while you're reading it. Kind of gives you a head start. Okay, let's go to verse 11. Remember we said, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously. Key word. Folks, this is nothing more than making it a point to no longer merely rely on our own human strength, but to be strengthened with the Holy Spirit's divine strength. Think of the transfer. God, I'm giving up my strength for yours. I don't think that's kind of quite fair. That's like God, you know, God, I'm going to give you my dollar case. And you're going to hand me back $1 million case. That should be vivid in your mind of what kind of power you can have with God versus your own power. And that's not even close. It's a billion times more. Get out of your strength and get into his divine strength. Why? Because it says it consists of miraculous power, love, and a sound mind. Paul particularly requests divine empowerment for patient endurance. Steadfastness and patience means he's looking for you to get power for patient endurance. Well, why would you need that? For situations that require long, demanding trials and sufferings. Oh, he mentioned that. Are there trials and sufferings in a Christian's life? Yes, because we follow Jesus. And they purify us. and they make us stronger. If we steadfastly and patiently go through them with, that's the kicker. We get trials and tests and all of these things, and we are freaking out. What are we going to do tomorrow? How are we going to pay the bills? Where's the next thing going to come from? I don't know. It never worked out before. Why would it work out now? I've asked God 20 times. You'll reason right through everything. Instead of just saying, you know what, Lord? You love me. I'm part of your family. You never leave me or forsake me. And whatever I'm going through, you'll work it out for my good. I don't know how it's going to happen. I'm going to go into the unseen world. I'm going to rely on the Holy Spirit's power to get me through. And whether I live or die, like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego said, it doesn't matter, because if I live, it's great. You're going to work it out for me. If I die, I'm going to be with you, and it's going to work out even better. Endure it with joyfulness, not grumbling. Be joyful through the tests and the long trials and even suffering. Don't grumble. Only a divinely empowered life can accomplish that. Okay, you can't. And finally today, I want to read Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. Again. We're to give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Wow. Verse 13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness, and he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. We've been purchased. We've been bought back from the devil. The forgiveness of sins, because that's what the forgiveness of sins does. When there is no sin, we're in the presence of God. Because in the presence of God, there is no sin. Paul prayed that the Colossians, and believe it or not, us as well, because we're reading it here today too, would thank God the Father for having delivered us from the power of darkness and redeemed us by the blood of his Son. He translated us into his kingdom, and the best yet, he qualified us. How many know what qualification means in the Olympics or anywhere else? You have to qualify. If you're in an Indy race car, you can't compete in the race. You can't have a chance to win unless you get qualified. Then you qualify to enter into the race or the kingdom. He's qualified you. You didn't qualify you. God the Father made a covenant with God the Son. Jesus went to the cross for you, and the Father honored it and then qualified you to inherit it. You had no part in it. You're the same wretch you were before he got started. You were born into sin and would remain in sin and be going to hell if it wasn't for Jesus. He qualified you to inherit what all the saints that have been forgiven of their sins have gotten. That should get you to worship. And when I say worship, that don't just start singing. Honor him through your obedience. Honor him with your life. Share Christ. Smile. Hug. Do the things that we've been talking about and doing all day today. But don't just limit it to the 2 hours we've been here. So with the remaining time, go do it to the rest of the world. He translated you into his kingdom, qualifying you to share in the indescribably fabulous inheritance of the saints in the next life. In the next life. Do we have our inheritance now? Yes. But what has to happen before you get it? You got to die. When someone dies, that's when the inheritance gets transferred. Now, Jesus died for you, but our part is to die for him. And then we get the inheritance that he promised because it's in the next life. But in the meantime, because we know we have the inheritance, just like that millionaire son, he's still living with blessings. He's living a blessed life because his daddy has it all. And he's not going to see him suffer and be without while he's there. But once daddy dies, now he's going to be entrusted with it all. But that doesn't mean you have to suffer through poverty now. You're a king's kid. You're a saint. You're no longer a sinner. Don't you say, oh, yeah, well, I'm a sinner saved by grace. No, you're a sinner that was saved by grace, so now you have become a saint. So I'm a saint saved by Jesus. Not a sinner caused by sin. No longer. Folks, the light of Christ's truth has truly freed us forever from the power and the hold and the control of Satan's dark demonic hosts and their anti-God, faith-destroying lies. Satan starts to speak lies to you in the womb. Because mom and dad, when they start entertaining lies, that gets transferred, right? We know that from For Your Health and even through your childhood. Sometimes mom and dad don't represent Jesus very well and your friends, and sometimes the devil comes in through other means. And anyway, you get all these lies and then you get saved and it's all of a sudden like, what do I do now? Well, you need to let the truth set you free. You now have the truth. Hallelujah, I've been saved. I got the truth. That's great. Has it set you free? Because there's a lot of Christians that have been saved and they're bound by the lies that they still believe. And the only way to get free is to get that truth in them. So you got to have Jesus. You got to have that Holy Spirit. We already just talked about it, the power. Paul prayed for us to have what it takes to get us free, to walk in the freedom that Jesus has already provided for us. But nobody will ever get it because the scales will remain on their eyes if the feet of those who bring good news don't start walking. We have to bring it. God has chosen the church age for us to be his representatives to bring the gospel, the good news, to those people who have the scales on their eyes. And whether they receive it or not is not your problem. You're being dutiful in that manner. You're being obedient to Jesus. You are carrying out the gospel to all nations or whatever, your neighborhood, your family. What the person does with it is entirely their freedom of choice. And what you think may not be fruitful and may not be taking effect right now when you do it, the next person who does it, the next person who does it, 10, 20 people down the line will see the harvest. Don't ever stop because you think that they're not receiving you, because somewhere down the line they're going to receive somebody. And we're prayerful that it's going to be somebody that's bringing them the gospel and that they don't go to their deathbed in darkness awaiting the lake of fire. So with everything that we've talked about and Paul's wonderful, wonderful prayer for us to be imparted with everything for now, that's a lot to give thanks for, isn't it? So let's give thanks for it a lot. If it's a lot to give thanks for, let's give thanks a lot, right? It's a lot. So our thankfulness should be a lot. Paul was the chief of thanksgiving. I thank God. If you hear it one more time in his letters, I thank God for you. I thank God for it. I thank God. That ought to be ours. So I say to you in conclusion, have you thanked God, our Father, for this lately? For this prayer that Paul prayed, for the impartation of the Holy Spirit, for you, because knowing you're going to go to heaven and have a paradise and you've got everything, and now that person out there doesn't. Have you thanked God that you've got what he had to give and you received it and accepted it? Have you thanked him lately? Well, I believe it's time, folks. So in summary of today's teaching, we say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your divine impartation of our heavenly empowerment now. And for our future inheritance of your kingdom. Thank you for power now and our inheritance to come. Woo. Wow. We believe it. Say it. We believe it. We receive it. And we remain ready to work out what you have put in us for your glory. Amen. And amen.